Welcome back to another episode of the Bill Barnwell Show. That's me. I'm Bill Barnwell of ESPN. Today, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN joins us to talk about the interesting quarterback transitions that might be about to happen around the NFL. So many veteran quarterbacks who either could be sticking around, could be signing new deals, getting traded, possibly getting cut or retiring. We're going to talk about a bunch of those situations today on the show. First, before we get into today's episode, I wanted to encourage everyone to check out Swagoo and Perk, an ESPN podcast that we have all been dreaming about here at ESPN for a while now, led by its namesake hosts, Marcus Spears, the Swagoo himself, and Kendrick Perkins. New episodes every Tuesday morning. Spears and Perkins will bring listeners the latest NBA and NFL news, of course, former players in the NBA and in the NFL, as well as a look inside their lives, their career journey, and there'll be can't-miss conversations. That's Swagoo and Perk. Listen wherever you get your podcasts, and it's also available on ESPN's YouTube channel. All right, here's Jeremy Fowler talking about the quarterback transitions happening around the NFL. All right, joining me now, here as promised, on the Bill Barnwell Show to talk about a lot of these quarterback situations. I think we saw plenty of teams, especially this week, where there were veteran quarterbacks who were either struggling or you could sort of see their career slowing down perhaps in some ways. A lot of teams with question marks, even with good quarterbacks, even where quarterbacks are not the problem, but teams where there's questions about whether they're going to rebuild, what their situation is like. And joining me to talk about all that, someone who has his finger on the pulse of the league, I feel like, is my colleague, Jeremy Fowler. Jeremy, how are you?
Bill, I'm good. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on, Jeremy, because I feel like you really, you know, think about the big picture stuff happening in the NFL. You know, you're covering the entire league. You're seeing sort of, you know, not only what teams are thinking about themselves, but also what other teams, other people in the league are thinking about other teams within the league. So I think your perspective is really valuable, and I'm really, you know, excited to have you on and talk about this topic, because I feel like, you know, there are so many teams in the NFL right now where it feels like they're either thinking about making a quarterback change in the long term, going to be forced to make a quarterback change in the long term, or might be considering, heading in a different direction. Teams that are okay or decent that might think, okay, if we can get a really good quarterback, we could be a Super Bowl contender. And I want to run through some of maybe the older teams today, or teams that have older quarterbacks or injured quarterbacks. We're going to avoid like the Daniel Joneses of the world, where the Giants might make a change, but obviously a younger quarterback option there. The guy who I feel like we should start with, who comes to mind for me, is in Seattle with Russell Wilson, where the Seahawks are 3-7. Their worst record at any point during the Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll era. Russell Wilson's come back. They've scored 13 points in 2 weeks against the Packers and Cardinals, some pretty decent defenses. But I think Russell Wilson himself would tell you he's not playing all that well, coming back from his finger injury. Pete Carroll stormed out of his post-game press conference saying, "I'm done," and then came back. I mean, this is usually a pretty optimistic, competitive team. In terms of what happens next for Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks, do you get any sense that there's an appetite to make a change there, that Russell Wilson isn't happy there? Like how, you know, not only in terms of what you might have heard, but also just how do you feel this playing out? Like, do you think this is different from what we saw last year when the Seahawks were a good football team and then we sort of heard about some struggles and some back and forth after the season ended?
Yeah, well, Bill, I think it's all the above. I mean, there is a ton to unpack with Seattle. They have to be, in my view, the most fascinating team in the league right now for all the layers that you laid out. Russell Wilson, going into the offseason, was not necessarily unhappy with Pete Carroll. They've always had a good relationship. It's just he felt that they weren't maximizing their potential by getting the enough pieces to go out and win a Super Bowl. He felt that they were stagnant. That they had kind of hit a wall a little bit. And I think you're seeing that wall. And some of that is self-inflicted from Russell, who's not playing well and hasn't played this poorly for a long time, if ever. And so, Pete Carroll looked a little broken on Sunday. That was my thought. He's not used to this, as he pointed out. But I really think everything's on the table for this team They're not, it's a proud franchise that's not looking to rebuild. And I still think the schedule's fairly soft on the back end. I would not be mm-hmm. surprised if they make a mini run at the playoffs. I don't expect them to make the playoffs at this point, you know, but if they went 5-2, it wouldn't shock me. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's optimistic. I went into the season thinking they were one of the stronger rosters, went 12-4 last year. Mm-hmm. There's still some good pieces in place, but there's so much going on with the defense and how, you know, like guys like Jamal Adams aren't playing in their normal spot because they're trying to cover for, you know, poor cornerback play. Mm-hmm. And then like they finally feel like they settled down on defense and then the offense is doing nothing. So it's just a team that can't get on the same page. You know, with Russell Wilson, this is a guy who laid out four teams he would have been traded to in the offseason. Mm-hmm. It was a very public thing. If things continue to go downhill here where they're not in contention, not fighting for a playoff spot, it wouldn't shock me to see him expand that list because mm-hmm. things have changed. Dallas was on his list. Dallas obviously isn't somewhere Russ would go. You know, New Orleans maybe, Chicago maybe, but probably not with Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. And then I think Vegas was the other team. Maybe that's a possibility, but, you know, Derek Carr's pretty entrenched there. So, mm-hmm. you know, Denver just locked up some receivers that are pretty good. They got a good defense. Like, maybe that's a team he expands his list on. You know, like, I think it's going to get a lot more interesting in the coming months, you know, looking at February, March, that range.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, this is a team that you have to figure. You know, like you said, the record, history of success, they trade for Jamal Adams. I don't know if they're all in necessarily, but they're close to all in. It felt like this is a year where they said, okay, you know, every year we have in this Russ window, we can win a Super Bowl. And, you know, you could poke holes in them in years past. Like every game they played was crazy. Their underlying numbers didn't always support their record, but they're always good. You know, it was always like, hey, you know, we're going to get to the postseason. We're going to have a shot. And I mean, this is the sort of cold splash of water in the face for this organization. And I think, you know, it's going to be really fascinating to see what happens. I mean, you have to figure if Russell Wilson wasn't happy last year, nothing's going to have changed to make him happy this year. You know, but then I have to wonder, they do have a lot of cap space next year. So they have some money to work with. They could say, okay, listen, that was a year where everything went wrong. We're going to fix things up. Maybe we make some coordinator changes. Maybe we change some of our ideas around and we get, you know, we spend that $60 million or so. We bring in pieces in the secondary. Maybe that makes Jamal Adams better. Maybe it makes Bobby Wagner better. Maybe it makes the guys, you know, in the front four better. And we improve the offensive line a bit. We get a left tackle, with Dwayne Brown probably leaving. And that fixes things. And that's not out of the question to me. You know, I feel like I feel like if Russ comes to them in February and says, hey, I want to be here, that's what they're going to do. And they're going to be fine. But I think if Russ comes back in February and says, no, I want to leave. And I'm even firmer about it this year than I was a year ago. And like you said, I'm expanding my list of teams. And this is a very tricky situation for this organization, because not only is Russell Wilson in his 30s, but Pete Carroll is 70, Bobby Wagner's 31. Like, it feels like anything is on the table here, from, you know, let's run it back and let's add a bunch of pieces, to the end of this entire era in the Pacific Northwest.
Right. And I think Seattle will be measured looking at it, and they would look at both sides of it. One side is, you know, has Russell sort of outgrown the role there in Seattle, where, you know, this is a guy who's looked at big picture and, you know, his legacy and, you know, maybe owning a team one day. Like, he hasn't hid from those kind of themes. I think that's why his list of potential trade partners were big markets. So, you know, Seattle might look at that and say, okay, well, maybe it's time to move on, where they can get somebody in there who's, I think there are a lot of quarterbacks they think would be good in like a play action system that they could run that mm-hmm. would be a lot cheaper. Not that they want that option. I'm just saying, I think they would look at those kind of things, whether it's, you know, like a good Sam Darnold, for instance, maybe not this Sam Darnold mm-hmm. we saw this year or last year, but like that kind of concept, right? A young guy in a rookie deal that has some ability and upside. But at the same time, they also know what they have, so they're not going to be desperate to move on. I'm looking at the schedule though, Bill. Like, You got Washington, you got Houston, you got Chicago, you got San Fran, the Rams, who look shaky of late, and the Lions. Like, I'm not totally out on Seattle at this point, despite how ugly it's been. Even a couple weeks ago, two teams I looked at that were struggling that had a chance to make the playoffs were Seattle and Indianapolis. Obviously, Indy looks a lot stronger, but I still see some pieces with Seattle. And, you know, they added some nice pieces in the offseason that just haven't really worked yet, whether it's Gerald Everett or, you know, some pieces alongside the line. Maybe it'll all come together for them.
Yeah, I absolutely think that even if they don't make the playoffs, they can have a, you know, a solid stretch to the end of the year. And that kind of might give people some hope for 2022, you know, might sort of make them feel like, hey, you know, even though we did have a off year, it was more about the Russell injury than anything else. And if we could just get Russell healthy, and he's been healthy every other year of his career, we're going to be fine. So yeah, I absolutely agree. A team that I think is, you know, this has been a ticking time bomb for them for several years is the team you used to cover in the AFC North, the Pittsburgh Steelers, where of course, Ben Roethlisberger, the last couple of years, really, if I'm remembering correctly, has been thinking about retirement. Everything from the way the Steelers structured his new deal or his quote-unquote extension, which is really just a pay cut, to his age, to his play, makes you think that this is going to be the end. Now, Ben Roethlisberger is not playing bad football right now. Last five games, he's averaging 245 yards per game, 9 touchdowns, 0 picks, limited, not the guy he was 10 years ago. And I think that's not me telling tales out of school by saying that, but you know, he's helping them. He's certainly even better than what the alternatives would have been. Mason Rudolph, you know, did struggle in the tie to the Detroit Lions. So Jeremy, when it comes to the Steelers future, I mean, they've known this is coming for a while. Do you think they're any more prepared now than they were 2 or 3 years ago?
Well, I think they're embracing that reality now more than they would have 2 to 3 years ago. I think they're certainly more open to their options. I don't think it's a slam dunk that they're done with Ben after this year, especially if he continues this play. I think it's possible too likely, but I'm not going to take it off the table because they've looked a lot better on offense. You know, they've it's Ben is what he is at this point. He's mostly immobile. You're not going to see the same movement out of the pocket throwing on the run, but you know, like watching that game the other night, he was kind of going toe to toe with Justin Herbert for at least 50 minutes of it. You know, the offensive line looks better. It's still a little inexperienced and shaky at times, but I don't know. It's going to depend on their options. You're only as good as your options. And if there are whispers that Mike Tomlin would prefer a veteran quarterback, that he wouldn't really want to go the draft route, it's considered a mostly weak draft at that position anyways. You know, I know, general manager Kevin Colbert was very high on Mason Rudolph upon drafting and developing him. Most people would think that he's not the long-term solution there. And you know, Dwayne Haskins truly is developmental. I know there's a little hyperventilating about him in the preseason. Hey, look, we have an option. And maybe they do, but he's still just somebody that they're kind of bringing along as, you know, a bit of a long shot. Maybe he turns into something. But with all the veterans that are going to be out there, I certainly think that the Steelers will look at those, weigh them against Ben Roethlisberger and what he could provide. And then if there's a comfort level with Roethlisberger where he obviously wants to finish his career there, he might retire. If he doesn't, he wouldn't command big money at all. Maybe they say, hey, look, we can get him on the cheap, keep a low cap hit and just go about our business and keep trying to build with pieces in the draft and maybe add some free agency pieces. That would not at least shock me if they did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, certainly on his play, if he wants to come back, I think he would be the best option for the Steelers, and the Steelers would be the best option for Ben Roethlisberger. And I wonder, you know, I look at what happened with the Patriots over the past couple of years, where they were a team that obviously had a veteran quarterback in Tom Brady, and Tom Brady left. I know, breaking news, anyone listening to this podcast, Tom Brady is no longer on the Patriots. But they were in rough cap shape. They were sort of, you know, trying to stretch a bit to get Tom Brady's last year to be a Super Bowl win. They didn't. They fell short. Brady leaves. They sort of have to eat their vegetables a little bit when it comes to the cap. And I know we all think about the ideal transition being the Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. We have the guy, he steps in the moment this guy leaves. But with the Patriots, you know, they have Cam as that 1 year stopgap. It's a difficult season. A lot of guys opt out because of COVID. They couldn't have anticipated that. It wasn't in their long-term planning, but they do lose some guys in free agency, some guys to retirement. And it's a difficult year, not a great year by any means, but they sort of right the ship. They clear out the books a bit. They have cap space. They have a higher draft pick than they're used to. And they draft Mac Jones. And Mac Jones has been very solid for them. And now it looks like, you know, even if Mac Jones is not going to be Patrick Mahomes from day one, which is fine, like they're a winning football team. They have a good formula. They spent a lot around him. And I wonder if, you know, as much as we think about the, oh, they have to have the guy ready, I wonder if this is a team where, hey, they do go out and get that, like a Ryan Fitzpatrick or someone next year on that 1 year deal. They right the ship, they clear out some of their difficult cap situations, and they sort of eat their vegetables, have a rough year, and then they go into 2023 thinking, okay, now we can spend money if we need to. Not always going to spend a ton of money, but maybe we can spend money on pieces to supplement the guys we have. Now we can have that sort of higher draft pick. We can go out and get that young quarterback in a better draft class, and we might be a better organization for the next 10 years, even if 2022 is a more difficult season.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better with the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country. There is no competition. And right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a Jet's Pizza location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Right. You're talking about the Steelers following that formula?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So I think, that would be fascinating to see Ryan Fitzpatrick in a Steelers uniform. He's been every other one, yeah. How many has he hit? At least 9, it feels like, right?
I'll count it while you answer the question. Do you think more teams are going to look at what the Patriots did with Mac Jones? Think, okay, you know, even if we have, like, especially for teams that have a sort of, you know, a more secure coach like a Mike Tomlin, they might sit there and say, hey, we're willing to do that one sort of frustrating year to have a better next 5 or 6 years after that.
Yeah, well, yes, I do think the Eagles model is interesting because that's sort of what they were doing, only with a draft pick, thinking, well, okay, we're in a mini rebuild, but we actually think we might be decent. Let's kind of see how it goes and play both sides. I think that's a model that some might sort of follow. You know, you can do both and then still try to win some games. And Jalen Hurts has at least lately been better than even anticipated, better than they thought. And so, you know, do you give the keys to a sort of developmental quarterback and see if he surprises you, as opposed to a Fitzpatrick who's probably going to get hurt again, you know, like that, that's sort of the calculation you make. And, the Patriots theory is certainly a good one. The difficult part is knowing how you're going to fall that next year, what your position is going to be, where a guy like Mac Jones in 2023, there's a duplicate where he might fall, like New England. Mm-hmm. I don't get the sense that they, we're looking at the 2021 draft thinking, okay, well, we'll be in that 15 range and Mac Jones will fall to us. You know, it's just hard. Like they sort of got a little lucky in a way, you know, and then they, but they, you know, like they knew regardless whether it was Cam or Mac Jones, like let's load up right now in free agency, knowing that we might be getting a slight discount because of the COVID restrictions on the salary cap that brought it down about 8%. Let's spend money that will look smart and frugal in a couple of years. And whoever a quarterback is, we surround him with talent, a good coordinator in Josh McDaniels, and we at least have a plan. And, you know, whether Mac Jones can long-term like drive the ball downfield and play the vertical game, we don't know that yet, but he hasn't had to do that. So at least in the short term, it makes a lot of sense for that plan. So I think, you know, there could be like a hybrid model of what the Eagles did and the Patriots did. It's all on like a team's threshold for patience. You know, whether they're open to transitioning for a year, so to speak. And I think you see a lot of teams kind of try to do both and play life in the middle for a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned, or I guess I mentioned Fitzpatrick. So let's talk about Washington, a team that we've seen win two straight. Taylor Heineke, a younger player, but still Taylor Heinicke is, by the way, you were 100% correct, Brian Fitzpatrick, is 9 teams now. So Pittsburgh's going to be 10. Taylor Heinicke's 28, turns 29 next year. And we've seen him play, you know, inconsistent football, but last 2 weeks, certainly very good for Taylor Heinicke. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a free agent, I believe, after this season. Ron Rivera trying to get this defense turned around. Obviously, a disappointing year for the defense, but a team that might feel like if they go on a run in the second half of the year, like, hey, if we can just get that quarterback situation resolved, we have pieces on offense. We have, you know, we have a very talented young front four. We can win football games with that core. I mean, do you see them as a team that, you know, might be in play to make a big trade up for a quarterback, sort of like they did with Robert Griffin? Are they a team that might go for one of the veteran options if they can?
Yeah.
Like how do you see their quarterback situation shaking out? Or is Taylor Heinicke, you think, going to be their guy?
Right. Well, they'll certainly exhaust those options for a key guy who might be out there. They did that with Matthew Stafford, but they were pretty conservative. I never got the sense that they were willing to over pursue. Like Carolina was all in, right? Like you could see you'd hear rumblings that they were going to be ultra aggressive. I didn't get that sense from Washington a year ago. I think they're just more measured in their front office between Ron Rivera, Martin Mayhew, and kind of what they got going. So I'm looking at Taylor Heinicke here. I mean, he's due a base salary next year of $1.5 million. He knocks off the Bucks. Like he has these moments where he looks very much like a backup, and then he has these moments where he looks brilliant. Yeah. And maybe that's part of the charm. And I'm not saying he's the starter next year, but like he gives you something. The players like playing for him. They seem to respond to him. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something there where they just draft a guy, you know, get a quarterback. Maybe you do it in day two, maybe you do it day one, and then just see where it goes. They're fascinating to me because they've underachieved. We thought the defense was going to be so good, and it kind of started so slowly. But now they're showing you a little something. But I keep seeing Taylor Heinicke when I look around. I look at the TV or whatever, and he's making another play. So he's not the long-term answer, but 2022, I don't know. I mean, I probably like it better as an option than a Ryan Fitzpatrick or like a true stopgap. You got Jameis Winston out there. I mean, I think Jameis could have a decent market. He'll be ready for next year. He's playing pretty well with Sean Payton. Maybe they bring him back in New Orleans, another team kind of stuck in the middle right now. So he kind of reinvented himself a little bit this year. Maybe Washington looks at like an Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston just to mix it up. They go to the next stopgap. Number B and number C on the ticket down the line.
It feels that way. I mean, you mentioned the Saints. I think they're another team we could talk about because, of course, they're still competitive this year. They have a great defense. And since Jameis Winston's got hurt, they beat the Bucs, but they lost three straight, losing to the Falcons, losing to Tennessee, and then really getting blown out by the Eagles. You know, the last two games, pretty close. Trevor Siemian, you know, doing his best, but the last game felt like that was a blowout. And of course, the Saints then respond by re-signing Taysom Hill, part accounting, part keeping him around for another year.
Right.
But right. I mean, a guy who if there was ever a time that Taysom Hill was going to be the starting quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, it would be right now. And the Saints have not committed to him as their long-term quarterback. And now three of their next four games, Bills, Cowboys, Buccaneers, getting tough for them. The Jets are the other one, so that helps. It evens that a little bit. But, you know, I guess I wonder, like, Sean Payton, such a good coach, a team that has so many veterans on their roster, do you think they try to run it back with Jameis, or do you think they reach for something higher next year?
Well, you know, I asked around. I do think running it back with Jameis is a possibility. I haven't committed to it. I know they're going to be open to it. Like, there will at least be a discussion. You know, the thing is, though, if I'm Russell, or if I'm to another extent Deshaun Watson, I'm looking at the Saints, and I'm saying as long as they can get some receiver help, that's a place I want to go. I want to work with Sean Payton because he's going to maximize you as a quarterback. I mean, the Taysom Hill question is, it's fascinating, right? I mean, how many contracts is this? And I think he'll at least see an enhanced role the next few weeks. He's had some injuries, but he was in concussion protocol and then he had a foot deal. So I think at the very least, they'll work him in, maybe have him and Trevor Siemian be more counterparts coming up. And but it's pretty clear that Taysom Hill's not going to be the long-term quarterback. I mean, he got beat out. Like, I just don't see that unless there's some sort of upset. But, I'm not taking a big fish off the table for them, whether it's Deshaun or Russell Wilson type. I could see that happening. I don't know if they have the draft capital or the cap space offhand, but they usually don't. But maybe they can make it happen somehow. But I do think Jameis is in play for them for sure. In fact, I'm pretty confident in that they'll at least look into it, talk about it, and see where they're at.
Mm-hmm. Still makes sense for them in a lot of ways. And Jameis was playing good football generally before tearing his ACL.
With no receiver help. I mean, like they have nobody to throw to.
Yes.
Like it's got to be brutal receivers. I like some of those guys, like a Tre'Quan Smith or Callaway. Like some of those guys I like, but it's like, man, they've got to be somewhere in the 29 to 32 range among wide receiver duos.
Yeah, you don't want those guys to be your number one receiver. Like,
right.
I mean, I guess Alvin Kamara is a number one receiver, but even now Alvin Kamara is hurt.
Yeah.
We could talk about every team in the NFC North, I think, one way or another. Let's talk about two of them, though. Let's start with the Vikings, a team that, of course, looked to be in turmoil earlier this year, and then they win a couple games. They're now 1-2 straight, beating the Chargers, and then that dramatic last-second win over the Packers. Kirk Cousins' cap it next year is like $45 million. It's crazy. What do you think happens with this team next year? How much of what happens next year do you think depends on their 7-game stretch to end this season?
Oof. I mean, part of me wants to say they're going to blow it all up, but I mean, they always hang around, and Mike Zimmer finds ways to win games. He does. Like he wears out players, right? He's fatiguing. And, here they are. And you even hear whispers that this year he's been pushing Kirk Cousins, hey, be more aggressive. Go downfield with the ball. Even though it looks like sometimes they don't do that and they just run the ball and they shouldn't. But, like, he's been looser than ever from what I've heard. Mm-hmm. Trying to get Kirk Cousins to really even, like, just yell at people. Like, be that dude in the locker room that, like, people have to respond to. And even though, he gets into his shell and has some weird games where he's conservative or can't get it done, like, he shows up like he did the other day. Like he's kind of, he's had some big moments where the Vikings feel like Kirk Cousins is going to win this game for us late in the game. Mm-hmm. There's a growing sense of that. So I don't know. It's purely life in the middle. I could really see this going either way. If Kirk Cousins was available, he would definitely have a market. But he's got a $45 million cap hit next year in the final year of his deal. So it's a sunk cost if they move on from him, because the dead cap hit is $45 million as well. So, they can do it and they could start new. But I don't know what other option they would have. That's the problem. I just don't, there's not a clear cut option. They got Kellen Mond, who's clearly a project. Mm-hmm. And, so maybe they just like play it out one more year with Kirk, but that $45 million makes it really cost prohibitive to do anything with the roster to improve it. So that's an issue too. So they're in a weird spot. I think they're going to move on from some veterans and continue to try to get younger on defense. With that nucleus of Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, like you're always in every game with those three. So do they risk going to a young quarterback for that? I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's out of the question that for cap reasons, if they do think Kirk is their guy, they extend him again. So, I mean, everything seems on the table for the Minnesota Vikings right now. Green Bay Packers, of course, this is the most discussed transition in football. Has anything happened this year that would change, you think, the plans that seem to be in place for next offseason?
I'm sorry, this is for which team?
For the Packers, excuse me. Sorry.
Packers, yep. That one's tough because it's still feels like a divorce is inevitable. Been nothing to change that. I do think there are signs that Aaron Rodgers and the front office have had good discussions, like they're in a decent place. And Aaron Rodgers in a good place with his teammates too. Like I there was a sort of surge of energy level when he returned. And like here they are in the mix while missing like a ton of Pro Bowlers, mostly on defense. So somehow they're all making this work. It's still feels like the last dance that Aaron Rodgers and both Devontae Adams teased. I think they go out together. And I think Denver's got to be at least strongly considering him, and see what happens here. You know, like that, that's the spot I've thought he would end up for a while now. You know, Denver really never went the Deshaun Watson route strongly. I think because, you know, with the implications of that, off the field, it's an ownership level decision. I just don't know how far they wanted to go on that. So Aaron Rodgers would be the logical play. I don't think they have a strong reputation there where I think they could handle the personality, which is not easy. You know, it's a unique personality. I think we all know that at this point. And so I still think they move on and go with Jordan Love, especially if they win a Super Bowl. It makes it convenient to just say, hey, we did it, guys. All right, let's all shake hands and hug it out and move our separate ways.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jordan Love's start earlier this year, some ugly performances seemed to improve as the game went along. I don't think he did anything to make you think, oh, we have to get Aaron Rodgers out the first chance we get. I don't think he did anything to make you think, oh, you know, he's hopeless and we have to keep Aaron Rodgers for as long as possible. So I can't imagine the organizational plan here has changed all that much. Let me finish up here with another NFC quarterback. I feel like all these guys, except for Ben, are in the NFC.
Yeah.
Let's go to Atlanta. Matt Ryan, I think, playing well for the Falcons generally. I mean, last week against the Patriots was sort of ugly, and last 2 weeks really have not been very impressive for the Falcons with 7 turnovers. But I mean, a team that is just, they feel broken. Like, they're last in DVOA. They're worse than the Jets, the Texans. They're just, you know, they have flaws on all parts of their roster. They are in rough cap shape. You know, it feels like they are a team that just does not have enough to make a serious path towards even making the playoffs, let alone the Super Bowl. And then you have Matt Ryan with a big cap hit for next year, but no real, you know, succession plan if you do move on from Matt Ryan. So what do you think the Falcons do?
Oof. Well, I don't think it's a slam dunk they move on from him. I don't think he's their biggest problem right now. They're
of course not.
Their issue is just overall depth and talent, and, you know, like Calvin Ridley being out. And they're a little better than I thought. Like, what are they, 4-6? I thought they were 2-7, 2-8 roster, to be real honest. I know they had some offensive weapons, but they're just not good. And the line needs a lot of help. And they knew they were taking over a pretty major rebuild. So in a lot of ways, I think they've overachieved. And so I don't think that changes what their plan is. Their plan is just to kind of strip it all down and rebuild. But I don't know what option they would have at quarterback. That's the problem. I just, you know, you got like Josh Rosen there. Do you try him? Probably not. So, I mean, they're, you know, it's, I think Arthur Smith with his offensive acumen, getting a young quarterback that he can mold, I think is attractive to them. But they had a chance to do it this draft and didn't. So they've been hard to figure out. But, you know, Matt Ryan's got the easy out in his contract. They can save money by moving on 2022 with hardly any penalty. I can really see it going either way because he's only 36. He's still a fairly young guy. I know he's a little bit immobile, but if he has pieces around him, he can get it done. He's looked pretty darn good at times this year. So I do not think it's the slam dunk they move on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's the problem, to be clear. I don't think it's a problem at all. It's sort of like Derek Carr in Las Vegas, where it's like he's good, but are the pieces around him good enough to win with? And then if they're not, well, what do you do to get those pieces to be better? You know, and I think for the Falcons, unlike the Raiders, there's the big cap concerns. You know, there's just so many bad draft picks over the past few years. They've really whiffed on a lot of picks. And, you know, Kyle Pitts looks great. That's really promising. AJ Terrell, their first rounder last year, looks like he's going to be a really good cornerback, and he's playing very well. But I mean, you know, I do think they're going to have to be, you know, even if you don't change Ryan, I think you have to find something to change the formula there. Because like you said, I mean, they're overachieving. You know, they're by point differential, they're a 2.4 win team. They're right in line with what you expected. They've just had, they've won 4 games. They beat the Jets in the other 3 games. Younghoe Koo hit a last second field goal to beat the Giants. Yeah. To beat the Dolphins and beat the Saints, who are a good team. You know, there's just, they've been hanging on for dear life in their victories and getting usually beat pretty comfortably in their losses. So, you know, a team that I feel like just in such a rough place. And yeah, we'll see.
It's, well, with all these teams, like we're talking about Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, Vikings, Falcons, like life in the middle is fascinating to me, right? Because you know you're sort of stuck. But if you take the quarterback out of it and you don't have like a viable draft option, right? Like even the Jets with Zach Wilson really struggling, like you knew, okay, this guy's got a lot of talent, number two pick, like this makes sense. But if you're picking like 10th in a bad quarterback draft, it just complicates it. You know, like because it's self-preservation for these GMs and coaches, you know, regardless of how much time you think you have to rebuild. Mm-hmm. If you're 2-10 and you literally can't get a first down, then you feel like your job's on the line. So I don't know. Like some of these teams, I could just see them standing pat a little bit for that very reason.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Well, Jeremy, I appreciate you hopping on today. If people want to check out your work at ESPN, where can they do that?
They can go to ESPN Plus. What is it? One tap. One app, one tap, I think is what they say.
Yes. That's the slogan.
As I'm sure you've heard. Yeah. So, yeah, they can go to ESPN Plus, NFL coverage. You know, you can check me out there. Yeah. Keep checking out Bill's awesome work. Love your stuff every week, man. So, it's been a fun season so far for sure.
It's been wild. It feels like every week something crazy happens. And this, you know, every week feels like, oh, this is the week where things are going to get normal and the teams we expect to win are going to win. And then the Bills get blown out by 26 points and the Packers lose to the Vikings.
The Bills are worth their own podcast right now. I feel like
yes,
whatever's happening there. It's kind of wild. Like
it feels like we've had these stretches all year where like a top team will certainly struggle and like, okay, well they're broken. And then like, look at the Chiefs. They've turned around and fixed things. I think the Bills are going to eventually fix things. Maybe Tennessee will be the next team in that bunch if they lose again in the next couple of weeks. It's just a weird season, but it's been fun. But yeah, Jeremy, thanks so much for coming on today.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much to my friend, my colleague, Jeremy Fowler, does excellent work for us on ESPN writing and also, of course, on the TV side as well. Great insight into what's happening around the league. I think a lot of really weird situations right now at quarterback. A lot of things seems like we go in drastically different directions based on what we see over the second half of this season. So hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you guys have a good holiday. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with more NFL coverage.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.